Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling good.
Ah, you better believe it. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a time for the Thursday segment of the newest scenes, and we want to welcome you. And my name is Emilio Williams, and I am just one of the hosts here with beautiful brothers and sisters, informed and not informed, tuning in and thanking you all for your gentle, kind spirit and generosity in so many different ways. And you know, I was thinking about the just the feeling good and just thinking through and feeling what it's been like over the last couple of days. Like, we've gone from scraping the ice off the car in the morning to be able to see out the windshield to drive, to taking off any jacket and being in a short sleeve shirt at 5, to monsoon 60-mile-an-hour winds, to capped off with a rainbow today, and just feeling good. I mean, it's like when you go most places, somebody say, you don't like the weather, stick around. And when I look at my life and I look at the impact that this inquiry with the newest scenes and XBR has had, it's the same way with the weather. You know, just stick around. And that stick around is just persevere. Just hang in there. And it'll change, and it'll shift, and, you know, it's already there. I'm just noticing it. So I'm feeling good, and I wanted to welcome each and every one of you who are tuned in. And as a part of our ritual, we check in with family. So let me go to Ma Halim first and say good afternoon, good evening, and how are you doing, feeling? How would you check in this evening?
I am very joyous, so... This is Mahalin, recently coming out as the author of XBR, and I'm joyous. I'm just joyous to be able to be where I am and just ask for what I need and take care of me and share my gift with the world as a result. I'm joyous.
Mm. Beautiful, beautiful. And Michael, before you come in, let me just say Maha, what you just said, that you just come out as the author of XBR. And if folks haven't looked at XBR, and to have someone say, I've come out as the author of XBR, when you look at it and you see the multitude of work and lessons and wisdom and energy, spirit, heart, body, mind, soul that's in here that all came through the ether and your willingness to do that. Maha, just awesome. I'm just blessed to, and I say this with the deepest love, thank you for all that you've actually done in bringing this tool through you to us, to the world, and recognizing a purpose in being the author of XBR. So thank you.
Oh, amen. Amen. Oh, you.
Michael, my brother, how you doing? And where, I'm getting goosebumps right this second. Lord have mercy. Michael, how you doing, brother?
Hey, Emilio, great to be with you. I echo everything you offered. Thank you, Maha, good to be with you. My key word today is satisfied. And it goes in a similar vein to what I'm hearing from you, Emilio, that there's something really awesome about weathering and being able to observe weather through me instead of taking it personal. So, yeah, I'm just satisfied.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, indeed. Well, for those of you who've just had a taste of this little love fest that's going on, Michael, anybody else over on your side that's in the switchboard?
Nope, and I'll ping you if something shifts.
Great, great. And if you notice that we asked that question of anybody, because two networks literally are combined as one. It's the essence. It's the real essence of We Are One. And so it's Blog Talk Radio with Empower Now Radio and Elevate the Soul Radio, and we're just one. So one is Tuesdays and one, I mean Thursdays and one is Sundays, and it's the same newest scenes, and here we are. So with that, welcome to the newest scenes. We're a gathering of ordinary people practicing deep introspection as a way to come to know ourselves and solve everyday problems. Our inquiry is based on the idea that the word is alive and that language is where our power lives. Communication is not what is said and done, but the result of what is said and done. By joining in, engaging, and coming back, we increasingly benefit from the distilled essence of an ultimate method of inquiry. Known as the path of XPR, that inquiry is radical, as it is based on sacred geometry. And each time we honestly engage in this learning, the cosmos rejoices. And each time we participate in a meeting, we renew the understanding that there's only one of us. We thereby increase our capacity to love what is and to sustain the sense of enough. And I would say that understanding, increasing our capacity to love what is, another aspect of what is that the newest scenes are sponsored by Empowering Now, LLC. So I would be remiss if I didn't also say, Michael, it is a tremendous blessing at the philanthropy and your generosity and your wisdom and what you bring through the Empowering Now element that combines with the authorship and what Maha is bringing. So all of that's come together to bring us the newest scenes in the path of XPR and two that have become one. Again, there's that theme of two that have become one to bring that understanding. So thank you too, brother.
Amen.
And just anything touch either of you differently from the reading of this page 3 today?
This is Michael. I wanted to share something. I was hearing and feeling into the word method, a method of inquiry, and, of course, went straight to dictionary.com, which, you know, the students of XPR on this path, we become enthusiasts about words and about language, and I'm pondering and playing with the idea of a method, a system of inquiry, a procedure, a technique, a way of doing something. And it's a way of doing something to have through me, not by me. And I'm touched by that idea that we're teaching the unteachable, something that we all have, and at the same moment seem to have a problem sustaining. What is that? Love. All you need is love. So I'm touched by the method that's within the madness.
Amen. Amen.
You know, I really like what you're saying, Michael, because today I was asked, you know, how do you make art? Like, I have a vision inside me, and how do I translate it into an art form? I mean, do you start with oil? Do you start with watercolor? Like, teach me how to make art was the question I was asked. And I said, well, the way that I teach how to make art is by not teaching how to make art. And therefore, coming to a method by which ever needs to unfold is done through me and not by me. There is no one calling the shots. And, you know, I'm touched that what I'm hearing through your words is that, yes, the project called XPR completely came as the result of surrendering and surrendering deeper and surrendering deeper, which that is love. That's what love is that deep quality of being unconditional with what is. And to look at it as a possible method of inquiry, that which we would inquire upon would be how or what is it in me that wants to be the creator? Who is it that needs to say, I am doing that, instead of letting it happen, instead of being the vessel, the channel for that particular creation, be it a business, be it a technology of awakening, be it a piece of art, the process is the same. And there is a method to the madness by which I can come to surrender. So I really do like that a lot. Thank you.
I was your both your conversations took me back to an old song that you would hear in the Baptist church in the South. I surrender, Lord. Have you heard that one, Michael, before?
You have a calling, man. You're like, well, you know what they say is preaching to the choir. You got it. You've got the voice, Emilio.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Well, let me just give some background. And if we want to talk a little bit about the newsletter, maybe one of you will be able to bring that in. But I wanted to go to page 6. It has the New Orleans contents and essence in it. And so we're, you know, 12 minutes into this segment, and we usually use this first 10, 12 minutes or so to just get grounded in what's going on in our love for one another and our ahas and what we're feeling in this moment. And then we go into this outline in terms of where we're headed. And we began, and literally, like if we talked about geometry, we began on day one. Day one was the problem. And we talked about that was to be split from our power. And then that took us to day two, which we're closing out this evening and moving into day three. And you'll hear a little bit more about that. But the question was, how effective would I be if I could abide in a mind of peace? And, Michael, it's like what you were saying about this whole notion of looking at dictionary. I was looking at abide, and so the question was really, how effective could I be if I could accept to bear or to stay or live or to remain or to continue without yielding in a mind at peace? And I was like, wow, okay. So that was the question that brought us in. So then the inquiry into that day was about looking at simplicity in the law. And that the simplicity was, I simply can't be in my power when I'm not in peace. And where would peace then come from? Well, that comes from within. Well, if the understanding has to happen that when I'm not in peace, there's something that I don't understand. And that brought us to, well, there's some options that I have from that point to surrender or inquire. And then I could then, in the process of inquiring, to come to a place of surrendering, feel the symmetry and the law of nature, the tool that we talk about having by which to do this inquiry that's based on the created six, the Genesis pattern. We talked about it being an ultimate tool that is practical, sensible, evolutionary, liberating, sacred, and balanced, that would bring me to a point of honing in on the whole universal oneness of there is one story of pain, that that would then bring me closer to a collective enlightenment that would begin with me. And then we expanded upon the validity of the six as they were tied to the, all religions that then brought us to the point where we are tonight, of the tension between ignorance and knowledge as it's integrated with those particular elements. And then as we wrap this up and play a little bit with the fractal that we have on this particular page, we'll begin to go into literally day three and the next aspect of our inquiry together. So I'm going to pause there and see what needs to be added or what else would love to be added. And then, and or if there are components of the newsletter, and then we'll move on. How do y'all feel about that? What comments or feelings you have?
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm with you. Right on.
Yep.
Amen.
Let's continue.
So, all right. So then that then would bring us to page 25. And page 25 is prepare to. So I've been talking a bit. Michael, would you love to bring your voice in for a little bit here?
Sure, I'm happy to. Yeah, and, you know, bridging it to our last topic, you know, in the conversation of inquiry and a method of inquiry, what, you know, what all spiritual teachers say is the bottom line is to surrender. And when I do surrender, I'm able to be the artist that Maha spoke to, and I'm able to be a housewife or a salesman or ditch digger or whatever. When I'm able to really do so, I'm chopping wood and carrying water. And so what we introduced and have introduced is this six-based tool that you were talking about, Emilio. And so on page 25, it builds off of the reconciliation we discussed last time as to how do we talk about East and West? You know, what happens to Chinese and the Tao and Hindu mythology, and how do we connect that with the traditional four elements that supposedly are at the basis of all of the Western cosmology? And we showed how those six elements can be reconciled with the convenient color code. So that connects really closely to the six-based diet that we'll be talking about today. And it begins with a quote from Albert Einstein at the top here that says, imagination is more important than knowledge. And I think
Stop
what
you, right?
Albert was talking there, and I'm interested in your feedback, I think he was saying knowledge that's intellectual. In other words, imagination is more important than intellectual knowledge. Do you guys agree with that?
No.
Yeah, I go ahead, Maha.
No, I don't agree with that. I feel that, I mean, yes, certainly in that sense, imagination is more important than intellectual knowledge, but I feel that Einstein is saying more than that. Because if I look at knowledge as being the ability to drop judgment, to surrender all judgment, and therefore to no longer know what's good and what's bad, while at the same time knowing totally what's good and what's bad at the exact same moment, then I would have to look at knowledge as being a feeling sense. Now, if knowledge is a feeling sense, in other words, if when I say there is only one of us, I can understand that intellectually because I've read enough of spiritual books. And so it would make sense to me that there's only one of us. But then when my neighbor or leave something on the sideway that I don't like, or when my father behaves in a way that I judged, and somehow I stopped knowing that there is only one of us emotionally, I forget. So clearly, intellectual knowledge has a limited value compared to emotional knowledge. But now, if I accept that Einstein would be saying imagination may be greater than emotional knowledge, then the way that I would understand it would be to say, once I have emotional knowledge, then that's the only way that I can use instead of being abused by imagination. And I would say that as an artist, as someone who has practiced art all my life, I have seen that I have a great imagination, but I have also seen that until and unless I came into the emotional knowing that there's only one of us, I would use my imagination against myself. And that's not imagination, that's disease. So I would imagine that Einstein knew that too, that he tortured himself through his imagination, and that he came to say that imagination is greater than emotional knowledge, because only emotional knowledge allows for imagination to be sane. So I know that's a bit of a mouthful, but it's nevertheless true.
Yeah, I mean, basically the bottom line here is I'm going to be abused by my own emotional knowledge ununderstood, and therefore the imagination becomes a tool I use against myself and that I attempt to hijack. Whereas when I have emotional knowledge that's true, then it does open the door to a form of imagination that's pure, and that's really what is the essential completion of all that, right? I'm no longer in service to the other. It's to the good of all.
Yep.
Yeah, and what I find so interesting, and what I find so interesting in what you the question that you raised, Michael, and it sounded like you were both saying very similar. And Maha, thanks for expounding on that. Is point of what's really beautiful, and I mentioned this at the beginning about what you've studied and where you are, because to just take a quote like this. And outside of a contextual overview in terms of what preceded it, what followed it, and then to look at that one quote stand aside without any expounding or inquiry into that would lead one to go in a lot of different directions. So that's awesome to bring that piece in to broaden that discussion as we talk about there's different levels and forms of knowledge when we talk about knowledge, and you just touched on one aspect of it in terms of emotional knowledge at the level of soul, which is awesome. So Mike, you want to continue?
Sure. So what if I imagine that quote unquote God did play with dice as a sixth based tool that used the force of synchronicity to make my intuition visible? Well, what it would first of all infer is that I had come into some amount of emotional knowledge based upon what we just discussed with the idea of imagination. What I would have to do is I would have to use the knowledge of the simplicity conversation that we spoke of, you know, a couple months back, because at the end of the day, the answer is quite simple. It's either going to be inquiry or surrender to have a source to any form of sustained enlightenment. So with that in place, then I have the ability to imagine that there might be a way. And what would happen if I were able to do that? I would be able to drop all of the painful emotions increasingly out of the ability to understand how my pathology repeats until I understand it. So that would be how I would answer that question. How about, how does that touch you guys?
What I also hear and feel is that, that at that level of imagination, it would allow me to become open to whether or not, you know, God didn't play with dice, but to, the analogy here is if it would allow me to be open to a six-base tool that we have down here where it, we could look at whether we did it with rolling a die, which is six sides, or whether we did it with just imagining a number between one through six or whatever, but to find our place on this map and then do an inquiry from that particular point is awesome. That would make that which is unseen visible. So I'm grooving with the idea that there, that is tying us back to the six base tool and then allowing myself to imagine that there's a realm of possibility that that six base tool can take me deeper into my own inquiry.
And without the shame, without the guilt, without the fear, you know, knowing that it's a universal pattern, it, it makes it a much, it really is a much more powerful way to understand things.
Yeah. Yeah. So one
so
of the things
next
I was
on the table. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I was thinking about this. I was thinking about this table as we're looking at this, just to bring in what we, what you did last time we were together, and maybe looking at the connections between these things and how they tie to this knowledge ties to the element, the similarities or the connections. How's that?
Sure.
You still with me? You still with us, Michael?
Oh, absolutely. I didn't know if you were talking to me or to Maha. So, yeah. So,
yep.
Was,
so
connect
what?
The ignorance. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
So, your invitation was to connect the individual components to the element. So, the table shows what happens when I'm in ignorance, the 6 days of ignorance. And it shows the 6 days of knowledge. So ignorance starts when my voice is in a screech. In other words, something happened. And it could be a car wreck. It could be a kid that got thrown in jail. It could be, you know, I'm overweight. I lost my job. Whatever. So the first phase of ignorance really emits from the black ether. And this is the element from the Hindu tradition that is known as the Akashic Records. And this is where it is written that today I had a car wreck or whatever, fill in the blank. And mm-hmm. when I'm in ignorance, my voice becomes a screech. Instead of maintaining the voice throughout the experience or being able to recover the voice quickly after an experience, The screech then, if not fully understood, leads into a split mind. I really should not have had a car wreck. That's what the mind does when in ignorance. And instead of having a mind that's open, like the azure air that's reflected in the clean, clear mind of an engineer, the mind becomes a prostitute and it's split. A part of it thinks it shouldn't have had a wreck, and a part of it is like, well, you know, I can accept part way, but it, the mind is split. And from the split mind comes a lost soul. And this is where those resisted emotions of, you know, man, how much is it going to cost me? I'm going to lose my house because I have to pay off my car. Whatever those emotions that are not reconciled from the split mind keep me from the vibrant blue color of our visionary soul here that is fully in touch with the bigness of who I am at all times. So from the resisted emotions, it's likely that the body then increasingly, with particularly more of these embedded issues, the pain body actually intensifies out of those resisted emotions. And that prevents me from receiving the invisible element that we spoke of, the concealed element of the earth. Instead of abiding with the perseverance that you spoke of, Emilio, I'm in the pain body and have no ability to truly be present. I'm more likely to look for issues that are solved at the level of the body instead of leveraging consciousness to really retrace where I went off course. From living in a pain body, I end up with a broken heart. I have a lot of hatred towards the, you know, scenario in particular, and more generally potentially towards a broader segment of my life, and that takes me away from the fiery red heart of my leader. And ultimately this progresses into the felt sense of being forsaken at the level of spirit, keeping me out of the green ingenue, the ability to be ingenious and really rise to the occasion with this element of wood. So that's how I would connect the elements to the six in a concise sort of fashion. Maha or Emilio, you guys want to add anything?
Well, I was thinking of maybe asking...
Go ahead, Emilio.
Well, I was thinking of maybe also adding... So you took us through the elements as they are associated with ignorance primarily to show what that progression is in a linear way, which is awesome. And then at the same token, there is the way that we play with these colors. And so I was thinking about maybe if we could operationalize these colors and why these particular colors that are consistent throughout everything that we do at the level of knowledge or love or in the love code are linked to these particular areas. So, for example, and maybe Maha, depending on what you're going to say, why is voice connected to black ether? Why is spirit connected to green wood? That would help to bridge the gap or help hold the tension between that which is above or the ignorance. That makes sense. So just adding another layer to this.
Well, Emilio, you must have read my mind, because speaking of imagination and imagining, that's exactly the way I felt about presenting that piece of knowledge. Said differently, where we started was the question, what if I imagine that God did play with dice to make my intuition visible? What we're dealing with, what I have dealt with all my life, and I submit that it's the story of a universal story of pain, is a huge amount of doubt. In other words, my intuition tells me something, and I'm going to say, no, I didn't hear that. Me quitting my job? No. Me moving to New York? No. Me divorcing or shifting relationship? I don't think so. Me quitting to eat sugar? No way. I didn't hear that. So what this tool is doing is to make intuition visible. I roll a die and I either come to 1, 2, 3, which Michael beautifully described as the progression from Screech into Split Mind, Lost Soul, etc. But this week I was asked, I really had powerful questions mirrored to me this week. And one was, but who decides those words? Who says that Split Mind has to go there, Lost Soul has to go there, Forsaken Spirit has to go there? Who makes that decision? And the only valid answer is to go back to what we presented last week, which are Cosmic Six and Elemental, and to see that when we shuffle all the word cosmologies, in other words, all the sciences by which I can answer the question, who am I, what is my purpose? If we take East and West, all the cosmologies, we have four classical elements plus wood in Taoism, same four in wood, and four in Hinduism, same classical plus ether. So now we can argue. And as a matter of fact, last week I asked a question to someone, would you say that fire is red or is it blue? And that person said, it's blue. I said, okay, would you say that water is red or is blue? And maybe she was Pharaoh looking at the Nile at the time of the Exodus, and she said, fire, water is red. Well, you know, of course you can have an artist's soul and paint a cow green, granted. But the question is more is looking at global agreements. And globally, if you ask 1,000 people on the planet, what is the color of water? They would say blue. And you would say, what is the color of fire? And they would say red. And you would say, what is the color of wood? And in Taoism, wood does not mean a piece of furniture. It means leaves and grass and flowers. And they would say green. And what is the color of earth? Mostly you would get brown. Air is transparent. Asia has ether. To actually see in ether, you have to close your eyes and become blind to the external world. So it's black, pitched black. So now we have six elements. And since undeniable color as a code. And so from there, we can derive a level of knowledge. When I really close my eyes, I can hear the voice. When I really need a connection to spirit, I go to nature, I hug a tree. When I want to feel my heart, I remember that my heart is on fire and I go in that fire. When I want to be grounded, I put my feet on the brown earth or I dig into it. I do gardening. When I want to feel my soul, I may draw a bath. I may take a shower. I may go to a pond and take a dip into it. And as to fill my mind, I must at once be like the air and also go into the sharpness of the metal. So I must be as light as the air and as sharp as the metal. So now we started with six elements that have a color code on which we can globally agree. We brought it to six instruments of knowledge that are directly derived from it. If you do any astrology, wood sign or spirited, fire sign or heart, body sign, earth sign are connected to the body, ideally, okay? So now we have connected knowledge to element. To get to ignorance, we just have to do the opposite. So how does it sound like when I am not in my voice? It sounds like a screech. What it is like when I am not connected to my spirit? Well, it feels like I'm abandoned. Etc., etc., etc. As for the color of the code of ignorance, it's another class. So for now, let's go back to this, and I trust that, Emilio, I heard your question.
Beautifully so. And just to further elaborate from page 24, when we took just the language of nature and what happens when you plant a seed in the dark and walk through, to show how those elements all work together. And we've talked about the etheric realm, the etheric code, the whole realm of the of nature and the language. So I'm just echoing what you're saying, bringing that with what Michael was saying, and that's brought us this whole piece that gives a solid grounding of why we're talking about what we're talking about, what the colors mean, how they're linked. And there's so many colloquialisms that people could use to go back to each and every one of these, as you've expounded on them, to really be able to feel into that, like you were saying, whether, you know, just when you're feeling depressed, how easy it is to go to near water and find yourself relaxed. Mine, I like flowing water. I like waterfalls, or like you say, being grounded to the earth, and how they have technology now that touches the ground so you can sit in a chair. All of it is tied back. So absolutely, that's exactly the other part that I wanted to bring in. So thank you. Thank you so much. Yep. And which brings us back to page 25. Michael, any other thoughts or comments before we continue in here?
No, I'm connected. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's awesome. So inside the box, and maybe before we do that, why don't it's three of us, and if anybody else is at home listening to it, you can do the same thing with yourself. But Maha, pick two numbers between 1 and 6. Give me two.
I would say 3 and 5.
And Michael, how about two that are not that are remaining out of the four?
2 and 6.
2 and 6. So that would leave 1 and 4 for me. So when we get down there, we'll each share those, because that's just what was meant to be. I mean, the other parts of this whole tool that we'll come to the end of talking about this is that this, if my trust is in the way that all of this lines up, and what I'm learning as I'm learning the language of nature, and that there's only one universal story in the 6 days of creation and what happened on the seventh, then ultimately what it brings me to is a place where I can relax. And as you said earlier, Maha, that it can then come through me and I can stop the madness of creation and allow it to flow. So this begins in this inside this box. My confusion and ensuing ignorance is aggravated by the various understandings that span spiritual books. Absolutely. I find myself wishing for some agreements on what, for example, spirit is, as that would give me a reliable way to steel my mind and to know the self. And I mean, I think that's the inquiry and the search that a lot of people are looking for, and not seeing how all of this ties together. Even just the basic four of knowing that if there's something that I want to do, and I say that I want to lose weight, and my heart, body, mind, soul are not connected, it ain't gonna happen. And this is why we talk about communication being a result. Go ahead.
Well, to build on that, Emilio, I mean, I remember for years, you know, as a holistic practitioner, going to the Body, Mind, Spirit conference, right? Well, what happened to spirit and heart and soul? And when people talk about soul, what is the soul compared to the spirit? And what's the distinction with this all? The confusion and the statement about the confusion, to me, is really profound. And this is not to say that having a system to understand what these realms are takes anything away, but rather it provides a greater precision to fine-tune communication. At least that's been my experience in being able to understand the realms and how natural capabilities and natural components flow through these archetypes when I can understand how they work together and how they don't work together. In other words, if I'm not able to manifest what I say I want, my voice is always in a screech. Wow, there's a great, and I know these the roles of a die here in a moment will illustrate that. I'm simply weighing in on the power of the idea of really some agreements between how we language these things.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Beauty. Yeah. Yep.
So, did you have other comments, Mom, before I go to the first bullet?
No. Big amen on that. I so love what Michael just offered, and I second that totally.
Amen. So we're looking at this from this perspective of my ensuing ignorance that is aggravated. So when my voice that we've talked about turns to a screech, I fail to find the gold in the ether of painful memories. And so for me, what I resonate with that is that when my voice turns into a screech and I fail to find the gold in the ether of painful memories, then I'm judging something that's being bad. I'm looking at something that and bringing shame or whatever to that and not finding the gold in the painful memory, in the ether of the painful memory. There's something there that was meant for me by design, no accident, that I refuse to see because I'm in denial of what it is. And so my voice is in a screech, and I don't see the gold in the nugget of the truth that's actually in that. So that's how first bullet resonates to me.
I had the second one. Yeah, I love what you said, Amelia. It's very much right on. The gold is in the shadow, is the way they speak that in deep psychology work, shadow work. They always talk about the gold is in the shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, when my mind becomes split, I failed to sharpen its metallic edge and lighten up its air. That's so cool. It takes a sharp mind to know what to separate from, and it takes a airy mind to really recognize the freedom that comes from dropping the split mind. So that's right on the money for me.
Amen.
Beauty.
Uh-huh.
When my soul feels lost, I failed to embrace my resistance by adopting a water-like path. So, the sense of fighting with what is, I have zero point of reference for that. which, of course, I say that humorously. I have fought so hard. And, I do feel that there was a purpose in all of that fighting, is to show me how sweet it is when I no longer fight. How sweet it is to be loved by you. Yeah, I know. And then I don't feel lost anymore. I'm not a wandering soul. And I'm found instead of being lost. It's amazing to just realize that resistance is only to tell me that there is something else for me to embrace, something I can come to peace with and stop resisting. It's just delicious. So,
amen.
Uh-huh.
So I had number four, when my body is in pain, I fail to give my troubles to the earth for her to transmute them. And, it resonates with me because when my body is in pain, I'm that's the manifestation. That's what has materialized. And I'm the doer. I'm so busy doing, I'm tired. I get exhausted. I get frustrated. I all of those kinds of things that come in because I haven't just remain grounded and giving those things back to the source of where they originate from, and being grounded and bringing into the feeling of what's going on. I'm just caught into being a doer. So I want to do it my way and not be in tune with Mother Earth, so to speak. I'm out there and not in tune. So I'll stay stuck. And literally, like having my feet stuck in the earth. Like, that's, I imagine quicksand when I say that, but my body's in pain because I failed to give my troubles to the earth. Just cast that off. I want to be the doer, and I'll do it my way. So that's how I resonate with this fourth one, the body.
Hmm. Beauty. So heart was the next one, number five, which I picked, or picked me. When my heart sees itself as broken, I have failed to see the fire was my perceived enemy. And I would say this one touches me even more so than the soul today, because I was reflecting lately on how incredibly real my projections of the other seem to be. Like, I really, really think and thought that it is your fault if my life is not working, if I don't have what I want and need. It's because of you, my perceived enemy. And that vision is such a sick imagination. Speaking of what we started with, I so have no understanding of knowledge when I attach to the idea of he broke my heart. This is so such an off perception that someone else can have the possibility to break my heart. I mean, first of all, it is giving way too much power to the other. Second of all, it's a way to not have any power at all. Then I don't have to change, and I don't have to be honest, and I don't have to do anything. And so when my heart sees itself as broken, when I sing that song of he broke my heart, I felt to stay in the fire where it burns, where whom I perceive as my enemy. But when I do go in the fire with quote-unquote him, because there is no him, it's all my game, there is no enemy, it's all my perception. When I fell to do that, then I also fell to express my heart. I miss the point entirely, and I cannot have my life working if I don't take that responsibility to stay in the fire with me until I can see my error and correct it.
Amen. Amen. Michael, last one.
When my spirit is forsaken, and out of living that story, imagine compounding that for a while, then I would really fail to be as wood that does not compare itself to any other plant life. And this tree, this wood, also generously gives of its leaves, its branches, and its roots. And gosh, I'm so touched by this wood element, especially over the past week. I know I shared with you, Maha, this program that I watched recently on the nature program about planet Earth, and it had an extended documentary just on the forests, and I was witness to time-lapse photography of these forests and how these trees behave. And you know, they were actually sentient in this sense. And the way that they thrived with and against and all of the various types of fungus, that if it weren't for the fungus, the tree wouldn't grow, and how all of this green wood really is so synergistic. There's really, certainly there's a genetic program for each species, and some of them come to do their thing and then to go, but there's none of the forsaken spirit in the element of wood, and the felt sense of what that means for me and for each of us to express the uniqueness of who we are without it being about envy or without it being about comparison, but to be able to do so from a place of abundance, that touches me, and I say amen to that.
Mm-hmm. Amen. And so, and what's really awesome is as you took us through the aspect of how ignorance would play out relative to the elements, and Maha beautifully explained why these things, beyond a shadow of a doubt, if looking at just nature and language and everything else from a global universal perspective, would be these particular colors, then we know that once we then, and knowledge coming out of black ether can go into the sound waves and the depth and be able to close our eyes and hear, then we can come to the notion that we are all one, that we are spirit, to literally lose ourselves in the very nature of that and then become fully into our heart as the leaders of love that we really want and are, and manifest at the level of our body, what we are to eat, how we are to exercise, with no pain, no shame, to be able to feel our way through whatever we're experiencing without judgment. And as you were saying earlier, to have that precise and sharp mind that then brings us back. And that's how this chart plays itself out and alleviates that confusion and or literally sheds light onto it in the dark. And so I'm loving it because it's becoming clearer as it lights up for me. And whether whoever's listening, we just randomly pick numbers, but anyone could roll a die or pick a number and then inquire and apply this same aspect to yourself, because there wouldn't be an accident. So if you rolled a 4, then explore what's going on at the level of body and earth, and where have I failed to give my troubles to the earth to have her transmute them, and use the tool and begin to think about it in that way. So that's what I would add to this piece. I know we were going to look at the next question, but how are y'all feeling about where we are now and what's resonating for you? Any comments or thoughts as we begin to close out?
Well, I'm completing where I started. I feel satisfied.
Amen. Satisfied. Mike, Maha, what about you?
Well, I feel imaginative because, you know, that what is currently written in red was working until it didn't. And so the next corrected version for Sunday will have a new question, which is, why would I have, what would I have to believe to resist being in my voice? And in other words, and maybe it is to resist being in my voice or to resist being in my mind, whatever is the role, whatever role picked you. But to just look at that resistance, to resist being in my voice, as the screech is the source of all the suffering and compounds until the forsaken spirit, it's such a big question. And I would have to fail to find the gold in the ether. I would have to fail to remember that there is a way by which I can make my intuition visible and actually heal myself. So I finished with imagination, as I'm seeing the imagination of this project called XPR being more and more grounded on Earth. So I'm just really.
Well, you know what I'm hearing, just to tie these pieces together, and Michael, it goes back to, yeah, the two allows no shame, and then what you're bringing here, Maha, is that I'm what my intuition and what I'm feeling and I'm hearing right now is, yeah, I would have had to fail to find the gold in the ether. I would have had to fail to sharpen my metallic edge. I would have had to fail to embrace my resistance. I would have had to fail to give my troubles to the earth. I would have had to fail to stay in the fire. I would have had to fail to be as the I would have had to fail to come to a place of being and knowing. I mean, there's no other way around. I would have had. So that relieved the shame because it was a part of now. And so I love the question that you're bringing. What would I have to believe to resist being in my voice, because that's where it starts. And so thank you, because the next question that we're looking at is, would you like for your voice to find a trust in the hearing? That's really tied to what you just asked.
Amen.
Amen. Beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Well, it's as always, it's been a pleasure. I am so grateful. We're so blessed. And I love you both. And I love me more. Did I just say that? I love me more.
I love it, Emilio. You're so precious. And yes, I love you more, both of you. Oh, that's beautiful.
Amen.
Beautiful.
We'll talk to you soon, and we'll be Thursday on Sunday, 12 noon Eastern Time. BlogTalkRadio.com, Empowering Now. Pick up a copy of the book, and what a beautiful evening. Thank you so much. Shalom, Laha, and blessings to each and every one of you. Thank you so much.
You too, Emilio. Good night, Maha.
Good night, Michael. Good night, Emilio.
Thank you. Good night.
Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, and I'm feeling.